At the count of three, I want everybody in the place to be to make some noise if you're down with me. 1, 2, 3. Hit me with the horn, 20. Keep making noise. Keep making noise. Yeah. Let me clear my throat.
Oh. Yes, indeed. We are back. We're jumping in this place and everything. We got this place moving. And in studio, I got to remind our listeners, and maybe, you know, we had a few listeners that just joined us. So, again, for the fourth week in a row, my man JT, James Taylor.
In the house.
Talking sports up in here. Also, he brought someone with him. Reggie Mitchell, former defensive back of our Pitt Panthers, and of course, producing the show, Trevin A. Jones, a member also of Urban Media Today, Talk Sports. Now, fellas, and Trev, you can hop in on any of these items as well. You know, we want to hear your voice also. We're going to talk about this trade deadline in the NFL that's coming up on October 30th.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to do your guess straight up right. When I say that, Reg, man, okay, I got to see you play at Pitt. And I know the people that are listening are like, Reggie Miller, who's Reggie? I mean, Reggie Mitchell, who's Reggie Mitchell? And what did he do? Syracuse, you had 14 tackles in that game?
Yeah.
I mean, was that your best game? Or was it, like, what game do you remember? And
shaking his head, he said, nah.
And that's good that you're doing that because, see, like, for a fan that's watching from a distance, they'll look at stats and say, that was his best game. But yeah. You as the player, you know differently. What is the game that stood out to you which would be your best game?
Yeah, the reason why that wasn't my best game is you look at the score of that game, they scored about 60 points
on us.
So, honestly, my best game was my senior year against Clemson. Actually didn't even start that game, just due to, you know, I was dealing with some injuries and stuff like that. You know, we had the safeties in a rotation, and, Jordan Whitehead actually broke his arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was in the second quarter.
I remember that. Yeah.
So I came in like, you know,
who,
second
Jordan
quarter.
Whitehead is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so I came in not even really expecting any of that to happen, you know, but ended up playing a pretty good game, doing what I had to do.
Monster game.
You know, we came out with the win. So
And you just don't only talk the talk, but you practice it because earlier you said when it's your moment, you have to step up and get things done.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you did.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely fantastic.
For sure.
But do you think that was your best – I beg to differ. I mean, well, it was a great game, I do admit. But what about the your sophomore year, the Thursday night when you got ACC Defensive Player of the Week against Virginia Tech?
Oh, yeah. That was a good game, too.
10 tackles, 2 forced fumbles.
Right.
And an interception in the end zone that got called back because of a jive roughing the passer call. But but that was, I mean, and those are big honors. And you, that's the same conference with Jalen Ramsey that year. I mean, so, you know, you were in there with some big dogs. And to come out with that that honor.
Yeah.
And see, that's why I asked that question because, like I said, fans watching from a distance, we see the stats. And again, in that game that I brought up, it's like 76-61 or something like that.
Exactly.
Was the score. That's a crazy score. So the defensive backs are getting a lot of tackles. But I mean, like you personally, when you stand up and you said the Clemson game was the one to you, if somebody asked, that would be the best game.
Yeah, man, because at the end of the day, and I know it's kind of cliche now that you hear it every day, stats don't matter. It's all about what happens in the game. You know, I think the best games are when people make an impact.
Well, they hadn't lost at home, what, in 3 years?
Yeah.
That was their first home loss in 3 years.
It was senior night. We spoiled the senior night and all that, man. Spoiled the season for them.
On that note, that's great what you're saying too, Reggie, because I'm not sure if you all saw that catastrophe, I guess I can say, that New York game, that New York Giants game.
Yeah.
And who did they play? I'm losing it right now.
Was it Carolina?
Or was it?
You mean the one last week?
Last week. The New York Yankees, not the Yankees, the New York Giants. They played the Eagles.
Yeah, they got
they
smashed.
They played the Eagles. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the great thing about it, the reason I bring that game up, the running back, Barkley,
yeah,
he balled out. Mm-hmm. But when they asked him about it after the game, he basically said, it's not about me. You know, we lost the game. I'm more concerned with us winning the game.
That's right.
And that's great to hear anytime you hear players actually say that.
Well, that's an unselfish player, too, that, you know, doesn't really care about his individual accolades. And he cares. He puts himself before the team, unlike your Odell Beckham Jr.
But I don't believe none of that, JT and Kevin. Uh-oh. I don't believe none of that.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, and Reggie's sitting right there.
Uh-huh.
You're a player. When you step on that field as a player, whether it's high school, peewee, junior high school, college, professional, you want to be the best thing on that field.
Oh, yeah.
That's in your makeup. That's in your DNA.
Sure.
Now, because of the media,
yeah,
when you're put on the set, when you're asked about something, you have to say graciously, yes, it's not about me, it's about the team. But you know daggone well, when you get off that field and you get into that weight room and you're looking at the next, you being a DB, you wanted to be the best DB in the ACC, the best DB in the Big Ten.
You do, but so, I beg to differ.
But what did I also tell you? What did I used to tell you had to be when you were, you know, from – and the thing about it is he never even played midget football. He started playing flag football. That's how he started out.
Okay. So don't get me wrong. Like, every time I'm on the field, I want to be the best on the field. I told myself before every single game, I'm the best athlete on the field, you know. And if I didn't, I wouldn't play like that, you know. So you gotta have confidence. But at the end of the day, it's all about who wins, right?
Exactly.
Who wins and loses.
And that's where I'm at. I don't care what kind of athlete you might be.
Yeah.
You don't want to ball out and your team is always losing.
Exactly. Because 20 years from now, nobody's going to remember you had 300 yards rushing in a game. They're going to remember if you made it to the Super Bowl, if you won a championship. You know?
Right, right. And since we're talking about what you did when you played for Pitt, let's talk about some of the Pitt players in the NFL. Now, I just happened to be able to bring this up. Pitt is actually tied for, I think, is number 29 out of all the colleges in the nation. Pitt is number 29. And I didn't have a chance to see where Penn State is, but I need to.
are you talking about the players in the NFL right now?
Currently, right now.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about some of the players. Of course, everyone knows Larry Fitzgerald, so we don't really have to say a whole lot about Larry Fitzgerald.
Classy guy, too.
Right.
Classy guy.
And the next person is LeSean McCoy as well. We don't have to say a lot about LeSean McCoy. It's rumored. We're going to talk about the NFL. Possible trades now. It's rumored that he might get traded back to Philly. And then Buffalo came back and said, we don't know about that. So I'm not sure if they're just trying to up the ante or not. Deion Lewis is still balling for Tennessee. And we all know about the best defensive player in the NFL.
Aaron Donald.
See, and I wanted to go over this today because when people talk about Pitt, they don't recognize how effective Pitt is with putting players in the NFL. That should be one of the biggest recruiting topics when the recruiters go to the homes of these high school students.
Well, another thing is you can just go back in history and say, well, Pitt has always put big-time players in the NFL. I mean, these guys, you got your Curtis Martins, Hall of Famer, Hugh Green. I mean, these guys that went into the NFL out of Pitt have done some wonderful things. I mean, they've really put some stellar players there.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, even more so than your Miamis and your Alabamas, you know, you get a lot of those guys, the hype is so big on them, but in college, they're playing around guys that are a whole team of All-Americans.
And it makes a difference. So let me finish the list of notables because we already talked about Tyler Boyd. We talked about James Conner already. And I can't go over all 17, just some of the major ones that I recognize anyway. Lafayette Pitts, that's playing for Buffalo right now as a cornerback, and he's in his third season.
Yeah.
Also, Jordan Whitehead. We mentioned Jordan Whitehead earlier. He's a safety in his first season that's playing for Tampa Bay. So those are just some of the notable. Like I said, there are 17 current NFL players that came from Pitt. And Trev, I bet you didn't know that.
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, man, I'm going to take you back. Because, okay. See, Pitt, to me, growing up, and JT, you and Kev could probably relate. Reg, you won't know what I'm talking about in a minute. But there was a time when only there was Pittsburgh on TV, there was Penn State on TV, there was Notre Dame and maybe USC on TV.
Yeah,
so I'm going back into where Mark May was playing for Pitt. I'm going back to where Tony Dorsett was playing for Pitt. We had Hugh Green playing for Pitt. And Johnny Majors was the head coach.
Yep. Yeah.
So Pitt put players in the NFL on a consistent basis since I can remember in the 70s. And I was little then. But I'm just saying, I'm not surprised they got 17. I'm not surprised they should have more. I just think that they weren't getting the looks that they should have gotten, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And if you pay attention, yeah, without question, I would do that. I remember seeing Reggie play. And I say to you, kudos to you, bro, because you would ball out. And it looked like
appreciate
you had heart.
Appreciate
you know,
that.
So I had respect for you. So I'm saying a lot of players didn't get looks, and a lot of players had injuries. You have to also take and consider injuries.
Right.
And Pitt's
awesome as well. Darrell Reeves, my homeboy from Aliquippa, just retired. And I did have
Hall of Famer. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
He's definitely
first ballot.
A Hall of Famer.
There you go.
First ballot. Matter of fact, when you think about Pitt, and before we talk about the Pitt players that played in the NFL, current and former, I did look up Penn State and West Virginia. I have good news and bad news. So we're in front of West Virginia because they ranked number 36, but Penn State is actually number 17. With 24 players. Hmm. Okay.
But if you go through those players and you go through the players from Pitt, look who's having better seasons.
It comes back.
Yeah, because even today, if you take a look position by position, you could say that Aaron Donald, which he is the best defensive player
in the
NFL,
without a doubt.
You could say Shady McCoy is still one of the top backs.
Mm-hmm.
Larry
He's
Fitzgerald
just on a bad team.
Is a legend.
Yeah.
And then you got Connors balling right now. I think he's the fifth leading running back right now in the NFL.
And through six games, his numbers are actually better than Le'Veon Bell's were last
year.
Yeah. But you can't make that comparison. You can't make the comparison.
I understand that. I understand that, Trev. But what I'm trying to say, though, is he's doing what he has to do. He's as a fill-in, people want to call him, he's doing a wonderful job. And I tell you right now, If Le'Veon Bell came back today and they decided to start him for the rest of the season or whatever, I guarantee you there's probably about 25 teams out there that would lobby to have James Conner on their roster.
Well, I think since we brought up Le'Veon Bell, I was trying not to bring up Le'Veon Bell today.
I know.
Wow. But since we brought him
up. He
didn't
even show up today.
That's all right.
He didn't show up all last
Everybody
week.
Calm down about Le'Veon Bell. Because what's going on is turning into a win-win proposition.
Mm-hmm.
We all know getting through 16 games in the NFL healthy is very tough.
And he's going to have fresh legs when he comes back.
There you go. So whenever he does come back, that's going to be a benefit if we don't trade him now. But if he comes back and plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, all right, it's going to help James Conner out. Because now he's not going to have to carry the whole load for all 16 games.
Yeah.
And Le'Veon Bell is going to be fresh for the second half of the season. Yep. And we'll be ready for the playoffs. We'll have a two-headed approach from a running back standpoint going into the playoffs. Trap. I don't care what you say.
You sound like a homer. You sound like a homer. And the reason I say that is because of this. If you have James Conner, who Reggie Mitchell, who's a teammate, can tell you, flat out, James Conner is a fighter. We already know that because of what he went through off the field. This man is a fighter, and he's having fun right now. Not only is he balling out, but he's having fun. He's living a childhood dream, so to speak. So he's going to give you 250%, 260% to get it done, okay? Just because Le'Veon Bell is coming back, who may be a better back because he's experienced and it will help the team in a sense, I see it as not so much of a win-win because now James Conner, he might get rest, but now you're sitting him. So the brother is going to give respect to Le'Veon Bell, but he should be playing.
Well,
because
I'm not saying you sit him, and I don't foresee him. And what Ben says carry a lot of weight. Ben says that there's no way James Conner should be put on a shelf. Ben said,
"Oh, yeah. Oh, I agree.
Yeah,
he won't. I think it's going to be. It'll come out more like a Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara type of backfield
for New Orleans.
Yes,
there you go.
But you got to remember, Le'Veon did this last year too, and when he came back, he wasn't the same Le'Veon Bell that we know, right?
And I'm glad you pointed that out.
So." Nobody knows if he's going to be able to start right away, you know?
Well, man, Le'Veon Bell came back last year. He was a beast.
I don't think he will be able to start.
I
don't think he will be able to start when he comes in. Ben said it's going to take him three to four weeks.
Just from a conditioning standpoint. I know we all know he's a beast, but it don't matter how many sprints you run when you're on your own. So you get in that game. You won't know what type of shape you need to be in until you get thrown into the fire.
At game speed.
Yeah. So, again, I do think it's going to work out to be a win-win situation, a blessing in disguise for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's if they're in the position to make the playoffs.
I think we will be.
I'm not thinking that's
going to win the division.
And I think that's far stretch.
Baltimore's going to fall off.
Because Cincinnati is playing up. They're balling. You got Baltimore, who's developing slowly but surely.
That's one game.
Ain't that good?
It's the NFL. You got 16 games.
Do you know the Steelers' record
against? You're
basing
it on one game.
Do you know?
I don't care what their record is over the long run.
Everyone knows.
You're one of those cats that works with history. You base it on the past. You know what? There's different players. There's different times. There's different seasons.
That's true.
Anything can happen at any given time.
Who would you pick, Pittsburgh or New England right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm picking New England.
Okay, because New England has our number.
No.
Cincinnati's number.
No, I'm picking New England because I think that when it comes to Pittsburgh and New England, Pittsburgh has a psyche in their head with Tom Brady.
You know, that's one thing about this, Reggie, one thing about this show, man, we record this show, right?
I don't care. I'm going to stay up and say it again. I don't care.
He might try to delete the recording.
Not even.
So I'm going to have to watch UrbanMediaToday.com to make sure this stays up.
I'll send it to you.
At the end of the year, you know, I want to bring this back up. But before we talked about the Pitt players in NFL, and I need your help with this, all-time former or current players in NFL, could you imagine, could a team beat the Pitt players that played in NFL? I mean, you're talking about Dan Marino at quarterback. You're talking about Larry Fitzgerald at wide receiver. You're talking about Tony Dorsett in the backfield. You're talking about Mark May on the offensive line. You're talking about Hugh Green on the defensive line, along
Darrell
with
Revis.
Darrell Revis and Aaron Donald.
Who was the one receiver? I mean, it's on the tip of my tongue, but the guy was a beast. And he played for Dallas. Brian. What was his dude was a beast. And then he went to Tampa Bay.
Right.
Dallas.
He was a heck of a college
player. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he actually played with Larry Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm. That was before my time, so I got to remember. Antonio Bryant, right?
Antonio Bryant, yep. That is it.
Okay.
Shoot,
okay.
Even Baldwin was nice for a little bit.
He was.
Yeah.
From Quip.
Yeah.
Al Quipa.
Yeah.
My homeboy.
Yeah.
He was a beast in college.
Didn't he play at Kansas City?
He did go to Kansas City, and then I believe he left and went to San Fran, and things just didn't work out for him.
But you see what Kev did, don't you? You see, we were talking Pittsburgh Steelers, and we were talking a little bit of history. What did he do? He flipped it to Pitt. So he flipped it to Pitt.
Well,
so
we started
off with
Pitt.
You sound like
Pitt
a homer.
Now.
No,
we started
okay.
off with
I got Pitt. You.
And just to help you out, Trev, you're talking about I sound like a homer. I also included Al Quipa in there as well.
That's fine, though. I give you respect because I saw the Quips play. You know, I was with you whenever you argued with that. Because
okay.
Man, that's one stadium I would – never care if I never went back to.
There you go. Right?
Man, it was in the middle. It was like September, man. It was cold, wet. I mean, it was bad. It was like, I thought I was at a haunted house.
Yeah.
You were, because you were playing Al Quipa.
You ain't lying. You
were. The locker room.
Whew. Yeah, it was.
Were you part of the visiting team? Or
Look, man, there was about eight of us over there. But, I mean.
And Al Quipa won, right?
Yeah,
convincingly.
Y'all won.
All right, fellas. So, hey, we're having a great discussion here. We're coming up on break, and we're going to wrap up. We didn't even talk about the trade deadline. We need to get that in next segment, and we need to talk about this first week of the NBA. And everyone knows what's coming up tonight, 10:30, the King of L.A. LeBron James. Let's talk about it on the other side.